take the next few weeks and just remind us and never lose sight of where God has us as a church, what God is doing. I feel like the flu just hit the church and we're missing a bunch of people, but I know it's not true. We got a second service coming. Right, so look around. How much space do you now have? Right? We need to fill that with new believers. Amen. We need to fill this space with brand new disciples of Jesus Christ. It's easy. I'm telling you, this happens in American churches left and right, where you have people go from one church to the next church to the next church, and all you're doing is moving saved people around. We'll take the goods, right? We'll take the goods, but that's not the goal. The goal is to lead people to Christ, make disciples, train them up to send them off and go do the same, right? So we have our Living Faith Bible Institute going on right now. We got three people in it, training them up, hopefully one day planting a church somewhere, and take 30 or 40 people with them and go plant a church, and we'll just start over and do it again. That's how you reach the community. That's how you reach an area. And so Haggai chapter 1 is where we get the vision of our church. I want to take some time and kind of revisit that. Now, I know what you're thinking. Man, how many times are we going to go back to Haggai every year? Well, we're going to go every year until God changes the vision, right? Until God changes the direction. But I want to look at this passage in a way that we've never looked at it before, keeping it fresh and keeping it new. And so Haggai chapter 1, I just want to read verses 1 to 8. All right, Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Says, in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Here it is, verse 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. That's the vision of our church, is that verse, to go, bring, and build. Go, bring, and build. That's what God has called us to do. Dayton, will you do us a favor? Will you pray for us? We need to hear from the Lord. And so, Dayton, will you pray? Amen. Amen. Let me ask you this. Are you in a spot, or have you ever felt like you get in a place in your life where it's just difficult to focus on anything? Anybody? Oh, my goodness. Where I just like, what are you thinking? I don't know. I'm all over the place. I know this is what God wants me to do, but then I'm over here and I'm doing this. And man, lately I've been walking into rooms, and maybe it's just because I'm getting older. But I've been walking into rooms and standing there for about 30 seconds trying to figure out why I walked in that room. And then I turn around and I go find something else, and I'm reminded why I go to the, then I go back to the room and I can't remember again why I went back in there. It's been frustrating me. And then at the same time, man, I feel like I'm the busiest I've ever been in ministry, with discipleship, rewriting the materials, with just planning and coordinating and traveling and going to different conferences, heading to a different conference today after services today, heading up to Harrisonville and joining their praise team and playing, praising the Lord up there this week. And so I'm excited about that. But at the same time, I'm trying to be a dad. I'm trying to be a husband. And trying to make sure there's food on the table. And, man, I just felt a little bit helpless yesterday. My wife calls me, and Kara calls me and says, hey, somebody just backed into me at Home Depot. I'm like, okay, well, you're talking, so you're good. Everybody's healthy, everybody's safe. How's Katie? Everything's good. Well, praise the Lord. That's good. Everybody's all right. The car's a little dinged up. Not that bad. It still drives. Good. But she's asking me, what do I do? Do I need to call police? And the guy that hit her is a jerk. I mean, I can hear him over the phone just treating my wife very disrespectfully. And I'm an hour and a half away. And I was really wanting to jump in my car and go talk to this guy who's talking. It's his fault, and he's not wanting to stick around, and he's not wanting to handle things. And so I praise the Lord that God provided another. There was another guy just in the parking lot who just watched out for my wife. I'm grateful for that. But I couldn't focus for a while after that. I felt like I wasn't doing my job, you know, and I helpless. I just had a hard time focusing last night. Well, what we're dealing with in the book of Haggai is God's people completely out of focus. And they're not out of focus because life's busy. And they're not out of focus because things are just hitting them 90 to nothing. They're out of focus because they want to be. And that's the problem. You see, when you get to the book of Haggai, the nation of Israel has been in bondage in Babylon and Syria in captivity for about 70 years. And they've been freed to go back and rebuild the temple. So they go back, and you read about that in Ezra chapter 4, Ezra chapter 5, right in there. So they go back and they start to rebuild, and all they get done is the foundation. All they get done is just a little bit. And it's not long until they lose sight of the vision, lose sight of what God has told them to do, go rebuild this temple, and they start getting jobs. And they start having families. All good things, right? And they start building their own houses and start doing their own thing. And the whole time, God's house is still lying waste. And the whole time, God has been commanding to build this temple. Right? And they're out of focus. And God calls them out. God calls them out. Look at verse 2. I want to read verses 2 to 4 here. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say. He doesn't say my people. What does he say? This people. In other words, they ain't acting like my kids. This people say, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. They're saying it's not time to focus on the temple. They're saying it's not time to build it. Verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? They're building their own houses. They're building their own kingdoms. They're building everything about their own lives. And the whole time God's house is lying waste. So here's the thing. If you feel like you've lost focus, if you feel you're in a spot where you have no focus, I would just simply say this. You need vision. You need vision. You need God to redirect your vision. Well, how does that happen? I think the answer right here begins at verses 2 to 4. Here it is. I just want us to ask three main questions today, and the message is going to be a little bit shorter because we have to be done for the next service, right? So, three questions, and the first question is simply this. Does my clock agree with God's clock? Does my clock agree with God's clock? Look what they're saying. It's not time to build the temple. It's not time to build the house. I'm going to do my own thing. And then Haggai comes in and says, well, so what, is it time for you to dwell in your own sealed houses in the house of God? Is it really that time? All right, so does this drive you insane as much as it drives me insane when all the clocks in your house don't agree? Does that drive you insane? It drives me bonkers, especially in our bedroom. So I'm going to let you in our bedroom just for a moment. For a moment. My clock is set according to my cell phone. Kara's clock? Is not. It's like, I never know, because she changes it. 7 minutes, and then the next day it'll be 10 minutes. I'm like, why would you want to wake up and have to do math? Why would that makes no sense to me. Just tell me what time it is, and I don't have to deal with it. I can just function according to that. And then I go in the kitchen, and the stove, everybody have a little clock on their stove. It says the time. The microwave's off by a minute and a half. Then you look across the dining room, and that clock's like 3 minutes different. And then I walk into the living room, and that clock's off. And I just started using my cell phone. What time is it? I start looking at the clocks. And I complain about it all the time. And you're like, get over yourself. I don't care. It's just driving bonks. And so one day I'm gone, I come home, and all the clocks are right. And they're set exactly the same. And I was like, all is well in my world. Amen. It is all well. And I just, as you said, I mean, just get me, I mean, it's all, just figure it out, Tony. I don't know. It just drive me insane. But now they're all okay, and it's all good. But the simple point he's making here is, hey, your clock, if you lost focus, if you lost vision, you forgot what time it is. Is your clock set to God's time? Because and I really believe this, the only reason many of us lose focus, the reason many of us get distracted is because we forgot what time it is. I think that's simply what it is. Notice this. Well, how do I know? How do I know that my clock's right? How do I set my time? I think it's simple. Verse 2, God says, this people say, this time, the time has not come, that the time of the Lord's house should be built. Haggai says in verse 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? I think the simple way to begin to put your minute hand in perspective would be this. You need to be looking at your right perspective. You are the temple of God. You need to understand that you are the temple of God. Here, this is a physical temple, but in the New Testament, there is no temple. You are the temple of God. Jesus said in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, remember that passage? She says, hey, you say in Jerusalem, and we say in the mountain, and God, and Jesus says, wait, there's coming a day where you're not going to go here or there. No, you're going to worship God in spirit and truth. Well, hello, that day is today. Amen? You are the temple of the Most High God. Jesus is walking with his disciples and talking with his disciples. In the John chapter 14 through 16, he makes it clear. He says, I have to go so that the Comforter can come. Well, they're like, what are you talking about? He goes, you don't understand. It's one thing to have God with you. It's a whole other thing to have God in you. Amen? And you become the temple of God. God dwells inside of you. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? How do you not know that? You got to know that. And I think a lot of times we get distracted because we forget that. And our minute hand gets off. We lose perspective. Wait a second. I am the temple of God. I'm supposed to be building my temple. I'm supposed to be building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. All right, so that's how you begin to get your clock right. Verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? How do I get the hour hand ready? Here it is. You got to get your priorities right. It starts with perspective, but it also starts with priorities. Look at this. What's happening? What condition is the temple in at this moment? The Bible says it's lying waste. It's lying waste. Is that where you are? Listen, if your relationship with God is on life support, your clock is off, man. Your clock's off. And that's exactly what's happening here. He says, you got two houses. You have this temple of God, but you also have your fleshly house, don't you? You have an old man nature and you have a new man nature. Let me just ask you this. Which house gets more attention? Which kingdom gets more attention? Which one gets your time? Which one gets your effort? Which one gets your money? Which one gets your care? Which one gets your worry? Which one gets your focus? And then we wonder why my spiritual walk with God is on life support. All right. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever had a loved one that's on the hospital, on life support? You ever been there? I have. Most recent one for me was my aunt. One most recent that was my father-in-law who's here with us. And when I was in Ohio and they're calling me, telling me that they're getting ready to pull life support on my aunt. I can't just jump on a plane and be there in enough time. I wanted to say one more goodbye. I wanted to be there. And all I can think about when I'm reading this passage is how many believers are on spiritual life support, and they're not doing anything and everything to make sure that person makes it. They're so focused on living life, so focused on doing their own thing, that the temple of God's lying waste. The temple of God's lying waste, and they're not doing anything to shock it back. They're not doing anything to put an oxygen mask on it. They're not doing anything to get it 24-hour, 365-day care. They're just hoping and praying that everything will be okay. And Haggai comes in and just says, hey, it's time for a wake-up call. Your clock is off. Your clock is broken. You forgot what time it is. It's time to build the temple. It's time to pour into this thing and let your flesh die to self. How about we do that? Isn't that what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14? Take up your cross daily and follow him. No, my flesh is supposed to die every day. I'm supposed to crucify it every day instead of loving it and taking care of it and making sure everything is all well and good with it instead of watching my spiritual life fall apart. And that's exactly what's happening here. I am the temple of God. So how do I get my clock right? Well, get my perspective right. I am the temple of God, but also get my priorities right. So which house are you willing to put every effort into making sure that it doesn't fall apart, that it doesn't collapse? So what do I do? Isn't that the question we should all ask? Okay, what do I do? How do I put that in perspective? How do I reset my clock? Here it is. 1 John 2, verse 18. Let me just quote this to you. 1 John 2, verse 18. God says, little children, it is the last time. What time is it? It's the last time. It's the last time. In 2 Timothy 3:1, God says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Is that real today? Are we living in perilous times? It's the last times. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come, what? Quickly. Jesus Christ is coming. And it's coming quickly. 2 Corinthians 5:10, get this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is giving me perspective. That is setting my priority. That is getting my clock right. Over and over and over again, God says, now's the time of salvation. It is the last day. Behold, I come quickly. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I love how Mason puts it. Live life with eternity in view. Keep the end in sight. And a lot of times it's easy to get so distracted. We lose idea what time it is because we're just focused on ourselves instead of focused on the big picture of what God wants to do in our lives. I am the temple of the Most High God. God dwells inside of me. Am I doing everything I can to foster that? Or am I doing everything I can to make sure that my life is comfortable? And that's, I mean, what a question he says in verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? I think we would all agree, no, it's time to get busy. It's time to get busy. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Hey, ye have so much. Look at this. Ye have so much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Does that describe anybody else's life? Am I the only one? Because, oh my goodness. Holy cow. That just described most of American society, didn't it? You work, you labor, you toil, nothing to show for it. You eat, you drink, and you're never satisfied. He says, you clothe you, but there's none warm. You're not comforted. And let's just be honest. A dollar ain't a dollar no more, is it? No, it's not. You work, you get your wages, and all of a sudden you turn around and going, where'd that go? What do I do now? It's called a spending plan, right? It's called a budget. No one likes that word, right? And so here we are. We got people making money. I mean, life's a mess. What's God's solution? Verse 5, he says, consider your ways. Verse 7, what does he tell you to do? Consider your ways. Why? Because your life's a mess. My advice to you is consider your ways. Oh, well, thanks. I really appreciate that. So, question is, does my clock agree with God's clock? Okay, that's the first question. Second question is this, what direction am I going with my life? What direction am I going with my life? He says, consider your ways. Here's what your life looks like, verse 6, verse 7, consider your ways. What direction are you going with your life? Well, here's the question you should be asking. Well, how do I know? How do I know what direction I'm going? Look at this. He says, consider your ways. You know what that word consider means? It means to set your heart on. It means to order. It means to appoint. It means to lay your affection in order. Consider your ways. Lay in order your ways. Set your heart upon your ways. Man, that sounds a lot like Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Right? Sounds very much similar to that. Stop. When you're out of focus and your life's a mess, you do not know what to do. Can I just advise you to stop and consider your ways? To stop and let's get things in priority here. To stop what you're doing. Get it all back in priority. Consider your ways. Put it down on paper or your tablet or your phone, whatever. Get it in order. Set your affection on things above, not your affections, your affection, your singular affection, your everything on the Most High God. Set your affection there. How about we do that? Notice what he says here in verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. All right, here's what it is. How do I know? Your ways are revealed by what has your heart. Agreed? Whatever has your heart determines where your feet go. That's just how it works. Now, I can be a good little Christian boy and be a good little Christian girl and get my feet right and go the right direction, but if my heart's not right, it's not going to be long until I stray. It's not going to be long until I get distracted. If God doesn't have my heart, he's never going to have my feet. That's why he says to consider your ways. You have to apply your heart to your path. Your ways are revealed by what has your heart. Question is, which way are you going with your life? Maybe you can rephrase it. What has my heart? What has my heart? Listen, if you want your life to go a different direction than where it is right now, if you're not pleased with where you are right now, then you've got to start with your heart first. You can make all kinds of decisions. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. Well, great. You're going to fall flat on your face very soon because you're building your house upon the sand. No, let's build our house upon the rock. Let's give God our heart first. What does he say? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. God doesn't get your effort until he has your heart. He wants your heart first. He wants your mind first before he ever gets your strength and your abilities and your effort. Let's get it in the right order. And so many times we flip that, thinking if I just start doing right, then God will get my heart. No, it doesn't work like that. I got to give God my heart, then I do what's right. Right? So if you want some change in your life, it's got to start with your heart for sure. Listen, when God has your heart, he has you. And when God has you, he's got your ways. Consider your ways. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. The advice scripture says, oh, you're out of focus? Keep your heart with all diligence. And you've got to be diligent to have your heart right all of the time, because out of it are the issues of life. Well, I know this is what God wants me to do, but I've got news for you. If your heart's not in it, you're going to drop the ball, or you're not going to care about it, or you're going to move on and do something else. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So he says, consider your ways. Can I just give you homework this week? Maybe even this afternoon, while everybody's in the next service. You just continue on the service. And you question your service to the Lord. Which way am I going? Let me consider my ways. What gets my time, my effort? What gets my joy? What gets my thoughts? What gets my prayer? I want to consider my ways. I want to set my affection. I want to lay my way before the Lord. I want to actually consider it. All right, so I want you to hold your spot, because I want you to look at these. Go to Psalm 119. These are some of my favorite verses when we're talking about this. How many of you would say, man, I got some work to do? Anybody? Man, I was going back over this, convicted. I don't want to make that point, Lord. Well, how about you give me your heart then? Okay. God has been all over me this week. So Psalm 119, look at verse 9. Now, some of you, the danger is, oh, I know those verses, checking out. Psalm 119, verse 9. Some of you, I've memorized those verses. All right, don't let it rob you from what God has for you right now. Right, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his what? Way. Consider your ways. How do I do that? Oh, isn't it amazing? And Haggai says, consider your ways. And it's over here in Psalm 119, tells you how to do that. I think it's pretty awesome. This is how you do it. How do I cleanse my way? How do I cleanse my path? Here it is. By taking heed thereto. What does that mean? Consider it. I always misread that. I misread that verse. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By paying attention where you put your feet. Take heed thereto. Well, how do I do that? According to thy word. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Actually, consider where your next foot's getting ready to go. And man, I see this a lot with high school age, college age. They're just living life, man. It's all good. It's just cool. I'm just doing my thing. Well, that's great. Your life's a mess. And you have no direction and no vision. I'm not saying all college students or all high school students are like that. But how do I cleanse my way? Well, pay attention where I'm getting ready to put my feet. How about that? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 10, with my what? What part of heart? My whole heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. So he says, hey, if I want to cleanse my way, I'm going to do it through the word of God. And my feet are going to follow because God has my heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from my commandments. Well, how do I give God my heart? How about you read the next verse? What does the very next verse say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, what is sin? Anything not according to his plan. Anything not according to his way. Anything according to my own. That is sin. Well, how do I consider my ways? I got to give him my heart. Because my ways are always revealed by my heart. So what do? I shine the light of God's word onto my path. Look at verse 59. Let this passage bake your noodle. Verse 59. He says, I thought on my ways. You know how we would say that? I considered my ways. I thought on my ways. I considered my ways. And turned my feet which way? To thy testimonies. Well, I don't know what to do. My life's out of focus. Well, where do I go? I get to the book. Amen? I get to the word of God. I open up its pages. So many times we end up in the shower or on the toilet or wherever you are, and you're just focused on yourself and the woe is me moment. I just said toilet. I'm sorry. And we're crying. We're pouring our heart out. God, my life's a mess. I'm out of focus. I don't know what to do. And we leave the bathroom, and nothing in our lives changes because we don't run to the Word of God. Right? Look at the very next verse. The very next verse, verse 60, says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Maybe that's where you are. Man, I got to do that. I've got to get in the book. Oh, just quit wasting time. Quit wasting time. Let's get after it. Let's get busy. Let's consider your ways. Let's get our clock in sync with God's clock. Let's do this. Let's do this right. Go to Haggai chapter 2 again. Haggai chapter 2. Did I say two? I meant one. Verse 2. These people are saying it's not time to build the house, right? Verse 5, consider your ways. Now let's focus in on verse 6 a little bit. We've joked a little bit about this. That describes us for sure. But notice what he says here in verse 6. It says, you have sown much and bring in little. Anybody else in the room can say amen to that? You work, and 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 you feel like you got nowhere. I labor, and I labor, and I labor, and I've got nothing to show for it. I'm not even talking about a paycheck. That comes later. I'm just talking that there's no results. Where's the results? Maybe I'm the only one. Notice this. How do I... Let's just get very, very practical here. Verse 5 says, consider your ways. Verse 7, consider your ways. Verse 6 says, here's your way. Well, how do we do that? How do I cleanse my way according to the Word of God? How do I turn my feet unto thy testimonies? Let's just get really practical on how to do that. Verse 6, you have so much and bring in little. And so instead of searching for worldly results, that doesn't come off my tongue very well. Worldly results. How about I quote Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen to this. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How about instead of sowing into worldly fleshly things, I sow into godly things, and the promise is that I will reap godly things. I've always approached that verse in a very negative way. You reap what you sow! Well, that's true, but it's also a very awesome verse because it's a promise. If I sow into the spiritual things, I reap spiritual things. And I quit looking at worldly results and start focusing on obedience. 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 I don't have to worry about results if I obey. What did God tell you to do? I do it. It doesn't matter if it worked or not. I chose to obey. That's the great result. Because God is pleased. Amen? God is pleased. Notice this. You have so much and bring in little. All right, so this is me right here, I'm just saying. You eat, but you have not enough. This is like a 10-year-old to 15-year-old boy. It's like an insatiable appetite. He will not quit. Holy guacamole. I've got one in my house. That boy can throw down. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. How about instead of focusing on worldly satisfaction, we get Luke chapter 4 and verse 4 down. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth man live. That's Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Luke chapter 4. And verse 4. It's Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. How about instead of chasing this world's goods, how about instead of chasing this world's appetite and this world's flavors, I get satisfied by the Word of God? Because let me just tell you, I'm never satisfied. My flesh is never satisfied. I want more. I do. I want more. And I'm sick in the head. I really am. Because once I've had good barbecue, I want better barbecue. Once I've found a really good bed, I want a better one. That's why I bought one. Shows up at my house on Tuesday. King size. No, you can't try it out. I just want more. I want to be satisfied. Well, my Bible says, no, I'm satisfied in the Lord. That I don't need to go chase this world's stuff, this world's stuff. No, I've got the word of the Lord. Well, then he says in verse 6, you eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled. You clothe you, but there is none warm. What does that look at? I want comfort. I want comfort. Anybody else in their house want comfort? We all want comfort. I want to know that everything's just going to be okay. Okay. I want everything to be all right. I want everything to be okay. I want comfort. And for some of us, that's a jelly donut. Some of us, it's a heated blanket and a cup of coffee. Some of that, some of us, it's just family. We throw all of our comfort in worldly things. And God says, now let me get you some perspective. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says, then we which are alive and remain, listen to this, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Here's the advice he gives at the end of that. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Where do you find your comfort? The Word of God. I'm comforted in the Word of God. How many times have you ever been in a situation you don't know what to do and you don't know how to handle it? And so you just run to the Word of God. And you just random dip methods. Like, I'll read here. And you open it up. It's exactly what you need. Has that ever happened for you? Happens to me all the time. God's Word is always that warm blanket. God's Word is always the comfort. And here's the reality. I don't have to focus on the things of the world because life is going to stink. In the world, you shall have what? Tribulation. Why am I seeking to be comforted here? Why would I go to the world for comfort? Why would I do that? They have nothing for me, nothing to offer me. But my promise from the Lord is that one day this mortal is going to put on immortality. This body that I'm spending so much time making sure it doesn't stink, I bathe just for you today. I even put on cologne, expensive cologne, just for you today because I know how much I stink. And here's the reality. Here's the reality. One day I'll get a body like Christ. And that's true comfort. I get to be like him because I get to see him as he is. My mother-in-law is stewing. I don't know. She's thinking, I'm going to get him back. I don't know. But she's like planning something. I don't know. Notice this, last part of verse 6. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. As fast as it's coming in, it's going out. As fast as the money comes in, it's going out. Listen to it. How about instead of focusing on worldly wealth, we focused on the true riches. Psalm 119, verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. How about I find my satisfaction in the Word of God? How about I find my riches and wealth summed up in the Word of God? Okay, so we're not going to have enough time to finish out the last point, but I do want to at least look at it. Verse 8, he says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. We have said that verse numerous times. You should have that thing memorized, right? You should have that thing down. Here's the third question I want you to consider. Do you have a vision and a direction for your life? Because that's what God does. Consider your ways. Here's what your way looks like. Verse 7, consider your ways. Now let me tell you what to do. Let me give you some vision. Let me give you some direction for your life. He says, that's where you find yourself in verse 8. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Here's your vision. Focus on Jesus, amen? Focus on the Lord. He gets the glory. He gets the praise. I'm not pleased. He is. He is glorified, not me. So how do I know whether I have vision or not? Let me just ask you this. Let me ask you this. Do you have a personal vision statement? Do you have a God-given statement for your life? We'll get to that in a moment. How do I know that I've got vision? How do I know that I've got direction for my life? Here it is. You begin to see things the way that God sees them. Instead of asking God to see it your way, because we never pray like that, do we? Am I the only one that prays like that? God, I'm going to do my own thing, and I just want you to bless it. Let me know how that works for you. I'm with you, buddy. Gotcha. God's just like, yeah, how about you go do your own thing for a little while? Let me know how that works. You're going to fall flat on your face. When I have vision and direction, I begin to see things the way that God sees them. He says, stop what you're doing. Stop building your own house. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house. Not the houses, the house. If I focus on the kingdom of God, Matthew, all these things shall be added unto me. I don't have to worry about having enough. I don't have to worry about being clothed. I don't have to worry about being fed. God takes care of all of that. He takes care of the sparrows. He takes care of me. Amen? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Right? Isn't that what he says? All right, so man, here it is. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Man, see things the way that God sees them. But then you'll also know what God is telling you to do. God specifically tells them what to do. And God wants to do the same thing for you. Our vision as a church is go, bring, build. We want to go where the people are. We want to bring them to faith in Christ, to bring them to the local church, build them up through discipleship, to send them out and go do the same. That's our vision. Go, bring, and build. What about you? Do you have a personal vision? A personal mission statement? Where God has just said, okay, this is what I want you to do. Are you doing what God has told you to do? Or are you just a believer in God? All right, so let me leave Haggai for a moment. Come to Colossians chapter 4. And I want to share with you my mission statement, my vision. My personal one. This is mine. Get your own, right? Go get your own. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Colossians 4, verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. God gave me that passage in a very, very dark time in my life. I was preaching through the book of Colossians. The world had literally fallen apart, ground underneath my feet. It was a really dark, dark time in my life. And I'm preparing a message, and I really felt like God was speaking directly to my soul. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. I never want to coast in ministry. It does not work. And I know we're not here to preach Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, but man, it's precious to me. And so if you're in discipleship and you're coasting, you're failing. You're not doing the work of the Lord. If you are pouring your life into children's ministry and you're just coasting, you're not taking heed of the ministry. It's not that important to you. If you're working with youth and you're just coasting, take heed to the ministry, or you're going to get ran over like a Mack truck. Amen? That's just reality. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord. You better take some ownership in that. So I'm constantly telling myself all the time, you better take heed, Tony. You better take some ownership in this. Because God gave you this ministry. This is what I want you to do. That thou fulfill it. Do it. And do it until it's done. There are no days off. There's no retirement plan. There's none. Do it until you breathe your last breath. Do it until the job is done. Well, when do we get done making disciples? When God comes back and says, I'm home. That's it. Paul says at the end of his life, I've finished the work. He's ready to die. He had nothing left in him. And Lord willing, I'm going to crawl across the finish line. That's my prayer. Because I want to go all in. And there's days where I'd rather not. There's days where I would rather take heed to myself and take heed to my own time and my own comforts and my own wants and my own this and my own that. And the ministry takes a second seat to what God has called me to do. So that's my personal vision statement. What's yours? Where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what God has for you. And only God can give you that. Now, as a church, we're going to go, and we're going to bring, and we're going to build. Everything we do sums up around those three things. Go, knocking on doors. Reaching out in festivals. Go across the cubicle. Go everywhere. Why? Because that's where the people are. Bring them to faith in Christ. Bring them where they belong in the local church. And build. See them grow in discipleship. Discipleship is the heartbeat of everything we do here. Everything we do is around discipleship. One-on-one, life-on-life discipleship. And we're going to talk about that in a lot more detail next week. So I better stop. All right. So let's close our Bibles. Guys, I know it's a little bit different. I'll just be honest. Some of you are having a hard time being awake at 9 o'clock in the morning. Right? But the Word of God is going to come forth. And I believe God's given us a message. Number one, is my clock in sync with His clock? Right? Is my clock in sync with His clock? Which way is my life really going? What path am I really taking? Do I have a vision from the Lord? Has God spoken directly to me? Don't go out there looking for a cool cliche. Don't go out there looking for a sign. Right? God will speak to you through the Word right where you are. You don't have to go searching for it. God will speak to you. And when you know, you'll know. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life until the end. Amen? Let's stand together. Y'all, I love you. We're getting ready to go our separate ways, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Please do not just leave, right? Hang out in here. Hang out downstairs. There's coffee. It's black and it's hot. It's what you get, right? It's black and it's hot. So there's coffee downstairs. But please hang out. Fellowship. We got people starting to show up, right? So let's be in prayer for the next service. But here's the deal. Let's pray for right here, right now. Has God spoken to you? Has God been whispering in your heart, hey, that's you? Let's stop and consider your ways. Let's readjust that clock. Let's seek God for a personal vision statement. Let's do that. Amen? Larry Buck, would you pray for us? And we will be dismissed.